Yeah, we're going to cover today a couple other, you know, the four core skills. And I know we started last week with the first two, and those first two were what? Contact list, building your contact list, which is such a critical skill to develop. And hopefully a lot of you learned some extra concepts and ideas around that, because you really want to be crystal clear on these basic core skills, because they're so critical for somebody to be successful in Manatech. Again, if you get these four down and you do them really well, you're going to absolutely succeed in Manatech. There's no doubt about it. So the building a contact list is one. Contacting and inviting was the second one we went over last week. And today we're going to do the last two, which are presentation, doing a presentation, and the follow-up and close. So let's jump in, and we're going to first talk about doing a presentation. And important in doing presentations is to understand for yourself that there really are no born speakers. We all need to go into a training zone to really educate ourselves on how we can be better. And I'll promise you that I continue to do that. I listen to some of my tapes. I listen to what I say. I notice a little nervous laugh, or I notice, and I work on those things. I work on my, you know, one thing I probably need most work on that I get more comments than anyone else from people is the posture. And I'm not very good on that, but I'm working on it. But, you know, there are all sorts of aspects, because you want to, when you're presenting, especially when you're in front of a crowd, you want to be your best, right? Because people have entrusted, here's the way I always looked at it. Everybody in that room brought prospects to this meeting, and they're entrusting their prospects to Mary Jo. And so it's more than just about me. It's about, you know, that people are trusting me to be the best I can be, because they're hoping and prayerful that because of Mary Jo's presentation, somebody will decide to get started. And so it's important for me and important for you to take on that same level of responsibility. It's not a responsibility just to self, but a responsibility to every person in that room, because so many people will make life-transforming decisions based on your presentation. So be the best you can be, and that means work on your skills and never stop. I mean, these are things that we just never stop. We continue to look at how we can be better. Some of the most important skills in presenting are, number one, exhibiting a level of confidence. I mean, if you're up there doing a presentation and you have no confidence in what you're talking about, what are you going to imbue on everybody in that room? The same lack of confidence. You're going to lose everybody before you even get out of the box. So establishing that level of confidence, and it's critical to do that. And how do you develop confidence? Well, you want to make sure that your credibility level's high. So you want to look at things like, what do I need to make sure that my credibility? One is just basically your communication skills. And what I did is I took a great article that was written by Tim Sales, and he's very well known in the network marketing industry, and he says these are the 10 communication qualities. And I think it's a great concept to look at these 10 qualities, and kind of you could even make a checklist out of them and talk to people about them and work with your organization, people who want to become speakers, and you should try to get everyone. I try to have everyone in my organization develop speaking skills, because whatever they learn in their development of speaking skills is going to help, whether it's in front of a crowd or it's one-on-one or it's a small group meeting, wherever it is. And it's also going to help them in life, just in interacting with people. Because if you develop greater speaking skills, do you think you're going to be better or worse when you go out there and you're just prospecting? Right? These are skills you use across the board. So the 10 qualities that he talked about, and again, they're posted, they're attached to the outline, so you'll have all this information to read through on your time. But the number one is be interested in the prospect. So, and some of you can say, how do you do that from stage? And the best way to do that for me from stage is to get maybe a little bit of, first of all, come from heart. Don't come from head knowledge. Don't be the know-it-all. Come from heart. Show passion, right? Show that you care, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So you want to show how much you care. So that's what comes across when you show a lot of heart and compassion from stage. You can also, from stage in front of a group, you can get group interaction. So sometimes in your call, in your presentation, maybe you actually ask for people to raise their hands and pass a mic around or something. Make it a little bit more interactive. If you can add that tone to your presentation somewhere in your presentation, wow, that that can make a difference as well. Because when you're asking for people's advice or comments on things, or, you know, to give you feedback on different things in the talk, and I don't mean you just go, hey, anyone want to give me feedback? No, no, no. You'd ask the question like, so how many people in here think that the pharmaceutical companies are producing the best possible products to help our health today? You know, and then you get somebody in, why do you have that impression? Maybe just ask a question and somebody says something. You know basically what they're going to say, but, you know, you get them to participate. They're going to feel like you're interested in what they have to say. So that's important. So when being interested in the prospect, when you're one-on-one with people, the number one way to do that is what? Ask questions. That's one of the reasons I love three-way calls so much. I did one yesterday, and it was just so awesome. I mean, we were like, I can't even begin to tell you, it was such a love fest. We were like bosom buddies by the end of that call. It was so amazing, and it was just, so much of it was just, tell me about you, Melissa. Just tell me, you know, give me some background, yourself, your family. And I could relate to so much of what she was saying, and we just had a blast on the phone. And she talked more than I talk. That's typically my three-way call, is the other person talks more than I do. And some of you are going, well, how did that happen? You're there to tell her. And I go, no, I'm not there to tell her. I'm there to build a relationship. The person's already seen some materials. They've already got introduced to the science. They've already watched a video. They've already done XYZ. So I'm there to basically get to know them as a person, build a relationship, that's first and foremost, and then answer any questions they have and try to build a little bit more enlightenment into what they really just looked at so that they can feel the confidence that this is for them, right? And of course, our three-way yesterday, the woman, not only did she sign up, but she couldn't wait for her Amber Toast. So the gal who, she was out of town, she wasn't a local here in Dallas, so the gal who signed her up delivered her a tub of Amber Toast last night. So that's how exciting that was. But being interested in the prospect is so critical. And that's another thing I tell people, even on three-way calls or when I'm meeting people, the number one thing, I keep telling people this, the number one thing I want by the end of the call or the end of the meeting is one thing, and it's not the sign up. I know some of you go, man, aim for the sign up. The sign up's everything. And I'm going, wow, you're missing it. They're going to feel like a target. The main thing I want at the end of a conversation with somebody is for them to walk away, shake hands, hug them over the phone. Thanks for, you know, giving me this time to share and answer your questions. I thank them. You know, they're trying to thank me, and I'm thanking them because what a blessing it was to get to know them and all that stuff. When I walk away from that phone call or that meeting, I want the other person to say, wow, I don't want to live another day in my life without having Mary Jo in my life, right? That's being interested in a prospect. And that, set your goal on that, and you'll see incredible things happen in your life in this business. Number two, don't be distracted by anything in the environment. No multitasking. You know, you guys love that cell phone. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I was in church yesterday, and there was a gal playing Donkey Kong or one of those. I don't even know what they are because I have no games on my phone whatsoever, not one. But I hear it from, like, kids and stuff. There was a woman behind me with those little bings when that happened. I'm sorry, that's not really about network marketing, but it's just, you know, what a distraction. And you don't want to be distracting in any presentation. You don't want to be involved in multitasking. Focus on the person at hand. There's not a person I do a three-way call that has, you know, could ever conceptualize that my focus isn't exclusively on them. They're the most important person in my life in that moment. So you want to make sure that you have that directness in communication, and you always are focusing on that person, no distractions. Have a sincere, friendly facial expression, of course, because people won't want to join you if you're not a happy person. So show joy in your heart. Use the correct amount of assertiveness. Some of us are a little, you know, touch and go on that. I was initially, when I first started Mantech, I was excessively assertive because I wanted to make it happen. I mean, I walked away from six figures and I needed to recreate it in 6 months or less. Well, all I did was create a disaster in 6 months or less. So, you know, assertiveness is definitely, there's a place for it and a time for it, because 80% of the people don't like to make decisions, but that's where the majority of my assertiveness comes out at the closing. but it's not during the presentation or the question answers or whatever. And you want to match the other person's energy. In other words, if they start getting assertive, you would like to step up and match their energy. That's because that's where they want to live. You want to match. It's just like matching somebody in their personality quadrants. So it's the correct amount of assertiveness. So don't make people feel like you're interrogating them or you're some kind of doctoral candidate in some, you know, medical science. Communicate easily. No tension, no strain, no fakeness. Don't make it sound rehearsed, even though it might be stuttering or hesitating. You know, and the best way to get around a lot of these issues, because you might be nervous a little bit, especially when you get started, is to just allow there to be a pregnant pause. Pregnant pauses, what are pregnant pauses? They're just quiet periods of time. That's okay. It's A-okay to have quiet time in a conversation. People can have a chance to think. So just, and then just, get reground yourself and get back on track. But you want to make sure that, you know, you really, you know, are real and you're honest and truthful with these people. Because when you start spewing things that are false and you're making stuff up, that's when you're going to lose them. They're going to get it that this isn't honest stuff. So, you know, if you practice, if you're using scripts are okay, but you want to practice them so much that they become part of your normal conversation, not something that sounds like you just memorized it yesterday. Number 6, make sure your body doesn't distract the prospect. In other words, if you have all sorts of twitches or you play with your hair or you rub your nose or you flip around your glasses or whatever it is that you, those are nervous twitches and nervous habits that you have, you want to make sure you get rid of those because they're very distracting. Always tell the truth. We already talked about that concept. Very critical that we're always honest because you'll lose people. The minute they feel like you're lying to them, they're gone. They're gone. Know what you're talking about. In other words, do the background research. Don't get up there and try to communicate something you don't know about. That's why, is it hard for a brand new person to get out there and share Manatech? Well, that's why you do 3-way calls with them. Because then they learn, they hear from you enough that they can start mimicking that, but they don't have to be a know-it-all. You don't want people to feel they have to be a know-it-all because the materials do the talking. All they need to do is do the follow-up. But you want to make sure that you understand about the product, you want to understand about the industry, and you want to understand about your company, right? Those are the 3 important things you want to understand. So when people talk about network marketing and they make some derogatory comment, you want to go, wow. I said, did you know that direct sales grew twice as fast as retail last year? And they'll start saying, no, I didn't realize that. And I said, yeah, they grew by 8% and retail only grew by 4%. So this is not only a burgeoning business. I said, the statistics tell us that $190 billion worth of sales took place in the network marketing business model. And you think that that has no validity? And there are 96 million people today around the world that are involved in network marketing and direct sales. So I'm going to suggest that this thing is huge, overwhelming. So I think they're even, the statistics you're going to find in the article that I posted are from like 5-6 years ago. And notice, just in that short period of time, that he only had 100 billion and now it's like 190. He only had 50 million distributors and now it's 96 million distributors. So that's pretty incredible. This industry is huge and exploding, and you want to make sure those statistics are right. So have that. That's why I put together those 2 pages, why Manatech and why network marketing, because I wanted all my associates to have those 2 pieces of paper with them when they're making phone calls, because they're great tidbits of information to talk about when you're in a phone call situation. So know what you're talking about. Communicate at the prospect's level, right? And that means you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to step up your vocabulary. One of the things I did when I came from the legal world into Manatech, in fact, was I worked on dumbing down my languaging because I spoke very differently as a lawyer than I do as a network marketer. And the main reason for that was that I wanted to be able to communicate with people at a different level. I'm not dealing today with, you know, doctoral candidates and, you know, CEOs of companies. I mean, it's not, that's not my typical milieu. there's a nice word, right, out there in terms of who I work with on a day in and day out basis. So my languaging and lawyering wasn't going to help me in this environment. So what we want to do is we want to communicate with the prospect at their level. So, you know, pick up how they're communicating, the lingo they're using, and be at their level. Don't try to show that you're some kind of great expert intellectual genius, because that's going to, they'll look at you and kind of go, well, I can't do that. I'll never be able to do that. You know, you want to make sure that you communicate with them at their level. You just know, what is an expert anyway? An expert is somebody that just knows a little bit more than the last guy. And then the 10th issue here is just have the intention of making the person's life better. Wow. You couldn't talk to a better person than Mary Jo, because that is the gist of my existence. The bane of my existence is I intend to make other people's lives better. And that's why I'm involved in Manatech, because it's such an incredible tool to do that. So make sure, you know, that you're focusing on the other person, right? That's it. All that will build your confidence. So increase your communication skills, help people, and allow others to help you. So in other words, be open to hear what they have to offer for your life, because it's always great to learn. Be trustworthy. We talked about that. Basically, you know, we want to always come from integrity in everything that we do. And be prepared. Increase your knowledge. Consistently be working on becoming more knowledgeable. And I never stop doing that. As you know, I read copious amounts of books. If somebody basically attacks your credibility, and I had this happen with one of my gals over the weekend, my advice to her was, this person is being ugly with you. She is arrogant about her own intelligence. I mean, I don't, you know, if she's like one of these people that's not going to buy from anyone unless you're the same intellectual level or above her. And I said, so maybe this is somebody you just let go. But this gal wanted to compete with her. I mean, she wanted to make sure the communication was done. And so I helped her write a couple of email responses back to this biochemistry, microbiology degreed woman. And that's okay if you want to do that, but find somebody who can help you do that. But I still had no concept that this woman was ever going to get on the products or continue taking the products, because she's stuck in her own arrogance. And when people get that way, you know, you have battles to fight out there, and I'm going to suggest you can spend, you know, months fighting that battle, or you can go out and help 10 people in the meantime get started on the products who really are looking. So which way do you want to go with that, right? Yeah, exactly. And then in doing presentations, Eric Worre, in his book Go Pro, he talked about that he went out there and he found the best presenter in his company. And he took one of this gentleman's CDs and he listened to it 500 times until he had it down pat. Every word in the presentation, he had down pat. Every word. And he listened to it 500 times, and then he recorded himself. Now he could repeat it, so he had everything down. He had all the buzzwords, everything to it. And so he could repeat it word for word, and he went through. Then he taped himself, and he saw all the inconsistency, incongruities, and flaws in his presentation style. So he started working on those. So is that a way you can approach your presentation? Absolutely. I'm not sure all of you are going to put that much energy and time into it, but I have met people. In fact, there was a gal in Indiana, I can't remember her name, Manatech associate, and I went to do a presentation in her community one time for Manatech, and she came up to me and she said, you know, Mary Jo, I listened to that Let's Go Natural like 100 times. I took down every word. She says, I can do that presentation. And she walked into the room with a foam board with the Science magazine cover on it. If some of you know that, I used to carry that around everywhere I went because I wanted to be the scientist, right? I laugh at myself today because I said, gosh, that was like one of the worst things I ever could have done. I mean, I tried to be the know-it-all. So all I did when I stood up and did a presentation was I convinced everybody in the room they wanted to start on the products, but I convinced everybody they'd never be able to do the business because I wasn't duplicatable. Well, this woman decided to duplicate me. She did it. So I'm just saying, don't be an excessive genius in all of this, because you want to make sure that duplication is your number one core principle. You're getting communicated, right? And that's what makes things like having Choose Your Lifestyle presentation so easy. Anybody can do that. That's such an easy presentation because you just follow along with the slides. It's just one after another, and it has incredible impact on the people that view it. So just come with your heart and your passion. So again, the last point, the next point here is in network marketing, it doesn't matter what works, it matters what's duplicatable, right? And Choose Your Lifestyle is, again, a great duplicatable system for us to use. And I love the new trifold, or I should say fivefold, that's coming out. Many of you don't have it yet, but it's coming out August 1st, so this weekend. You'll be able to get the fivefold, which is a great little piece for hitting Starbucks, meeting somebody anywhere, and you can just kind of go through it. You can draw on the backside. It's awesome. And I might even go over some of that on the Saturday training, but it's just a great thing. So what's our goal is our making sure our passion, our enthusiasm, our excitement, and our belief becomes our priority in what when we're doing a presentation. And the materials to present are something that are standard that anyone can do and make it very duplicatable. Our story is very important, too. Learning how to tell our story. Get your story down, because every good story really, you know, people, stories sell, facts tell, stories sell. You've heard that so many times. That is absolutely dead on. So what is your story? You know, and my story that I tell, I used to talk a lot about my dad, but, you know, I still can talk about him, but I don't mention the disease condition or the exact symptoms of it, because then they'll figure it out. So I just talk about my dad had a real incredible health challenge, and you know, and I go through the process of telling my story. But I add on today, I love to tell people, like, this business has totally helped change my life. It allows me to have the freedom to go in the mission field 2, 3, 4 times a year. I get to live the life of my dreams. But more importantly, my kids, when they got out, one of my kids got out of the mission field at 25, and they wanted to go start a Century 21 business. And I was able to fund them into their business, into a sizable amount of dollars. And today they're 40 years old, and these kids are now worth $5.5 million at 40 years old. That is a dream come true for a parent. And my other stepdaughter is, I funded her husband in a carpet cleaning business, and now he's number one in all of Fort Worth, and I just funded my stepdaughter into her second building for her midwifery business, which is probably worth over $1 million today. So both of my kids are multimillionaires at 40 and 30 years old, and 7 grandchildren underneath them. So am I happy? Yeah. Now I don't have to worry about paying college education for my grandkids. No, I'm kidding. But it's just a beautiful thing to know that your kids are set for life. But that's part of your story. That's part of what Manatech does for you, right? It's a great thing to do. And when people ask me things like, here's another story that's a great one. Like when people ask me things about retirement accounts and, you know, getting ready for, you know, being in the senior years. And I go, wow, thank you, Manatech. And they go, how can you say, what do you mean, thank you, Manatech? I said, well, when I first started this business, I put my husband in. And, you know, after we were married for about 8 years, 10 years, he didn't have any retirement account. And he was 6 years older than I was. So now he's in his 50s, no retirement account, right? So I just helped get his position up to executive level, and that was making a couple $1,000s a month. So because he's over 55 at the time, we could start putting, you know, maxing out contributions to his retirement account. And so I used Manatech, paid for my husband's retirement account. And now his retirement account is over $500,000, and I never put a dime into it. Isn't that a great story? So it's a way to use Manatech as a vehicle to accomplish other things in your life. So those are the kind of stories you want to be able to tell people. And if you don't have a good story, then tell somebody else's story. Find somebody's story that you can tell, that you can get excited about. Because it doesn't have to be where you are. It needs to be where you're going, right? Where are you going? 4 keys to successful business presentation. These are important. Melt the ice. Of course, you know, people are, you know, distrustful or cross their arms. That's why you like interaction. So it's about asking questions. You know, and with the number one way we build trust and we build relationship out of the back is to develop like interests. So that's why I always ask people, tell me about you. What are you doing? So I can build that likeness. How are we alike? That should be your goal. How are we alike? So you can celebrate together on certain things that you really have likeness in, and that builds. That's really super. Find the dream. That is absolutely crucial. If you don't get their why or get what's missing in their life, and that's why Manatech, what does Manatech do in the Choose Your Lifestyle? It's one of the first things they do is they talk about if money and time were no object, well, you know, what would you do in your life? What would your life look like? That's an attempt at following people's dreams, finding people's dreams, right? Not following them, finding them. So that's what Mantic's doing. The same thing we should be doing. We should be finding people's dreams. And you can't just say, what's your dream? That doesn't work. So you talk about things like if money and time were no object in your life. I mean, if you had no unlimited time, unlimited money, what would your life look like? Or what is your greatest concern today around your financial situation? What's the greatest concern? What are you? How is it restricting you today, like in a way that you just would, more than anything, you'd like a shift? In what way is that? And some people go, well, Mary Jo, I used all my kids' college education funds when the last recession hit, and I've never been able to replace them. And I go, great. So what if you let Manatech do that? And they look at you like, let Manatech do it? Why would they do it? I said, because you look at this as a business opportunity, and you create cash flow for your daughters because you can put them in as independent positions, and all of a sudden they're funded on a monthly basis to go to college. And they look at you like, really, that can happen? See, you're opening new, they didn't think about it, but you're opening new ideas for them. So find their dreams, find their dreams. Elaborate on a dream. Remember, I just talked about what I did was elaborated on it. And then get a commitment. And the commitment isn't always a close. Everybody get that? We're going to talk about follow-up and close in a second. But it's you're always taking a person from a meeting to a meeting. It's have a meeting, book a meeting. So whether they close or not, you know what? You're always leading them to the next step. Don't ever allow people to hang. That's the reason why you stand out there and go, well, how come this guy never called me back? He won't return my phone calls. Well, because you didn't have a meeting, book a meeting. You didn't book the next event in their life. So you want to make sure you're doing that. I just wrote up some information on three-way calls, how I tend to do them, you know. And again, it's all about building relationship, right? It's all about building relationship and approaching them in the right way. You let the materials do the talking. That's why I never do a three-way call unless somebody already has received materials. They have to have seen Let's Go Natural or you know, some of the other videos out there, or read some of the tear sheets and watched Power by Amber Toast or whatever. They have to have some information in their hands about what we're about, because I do not do a three-way call to teach people how to spell Manatech. That's a misuse of Mary Jo's time and energy. So it's always the first requirement is that they have information in their hands. And the other thing to always know that when you're doing a presentation, if you're doing it with a group presentation or a small group presentation, if you have guests there, always bring them and get them to your upline. Always edify the upline, because what is the upline going to do for you? Edify you right back, and that helps you. When you edify your upline, you go, oh, my gosh, you need to meet this person, blah, 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 and then the upline, what I do is I'll just look at my associate, and I'll say, and I'll talk to the person's brand new person, like if her name is Sarah. I go, Sarah, you don't know how lucky you are to have Laura as your upline. I mean, this gal is one of our fastest growing associates. She really is on the ball, and she loves to help people be successful in this business. So you are so fortunate. Couldn't be better positioned, you know. So that's what you get as feedback from your upline. So it's a cross edification. You want, and it makes the person feel really important, plus gives you validation. All right? So that's kind of presentations. Gives you a lot of information about presentation, but it's good. That's a skill you want to develop. You want to be great at it, because that's what life's really all about. Every time you open your mouth, aren't you making a presentation in some way, shape, or form? Exactly. Second is follow-up and close. And when we do the follow-up and close, what are we working on there? Well, we know, number one, the fortunes and the follow-up. So do it and do it timely. I have so many people that say to me, well, Mary Jo, I just don't, not good at follow-ups. I said, because you don't do them? And they go, exactly. And I like, it blows me away that people can go out and share materials, do a presentation, all this stuff, and then they don't call them. And I really believe the number one reason, it comes from fear. You don't want rejection, and you don't know what they're going to say, or you don't know how to respond. It's all fear, fear, fear-based. It's crazy. And then they go, and they say, well, they'll probably say no anyway. And I go, what? Now you're rationalizing. I said, I think everyone I do a presentation with is going to sign up. In fact, when I do three-way calls and the people don't sign up, I get frustrated. It's like, I'm going, how could we have done that better? Was there something we missed? Because I believe everybody can sign up. Everybody is interested in doing Manatech if they're handled right. So we want everybody on board. So the idea is do the three-way call, get them signed up, you know, move forward. But you got to follow up with people. That's critical. If you never ask, you're never going to get anyone to close either. And urgency is important. People want to know how much you care, and you show how much you care by how quickly you get back to people. Eric Worre suggests it takes 4 to 6 exposures to close a prospect. So keep your urgency, but also be patient. Hold a meeting, book a meeting. We talked about the ham-bam idea. That means that you never leave a meeting. If you just had a meeting, they attended Tuesday Night Live, and you introduced them to your upline, and you said, so on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think you are? You know, you're going to ask them a question, and they'll say, if 10 is you're ready to get started, 1 is that you're not interested at all, and they might go, well, I'm like about a 6 or 7, and you go, great, so how can we help you take that next step? You know, you say, let's go out, my upline's in town, and or my team leader's in town, and I'd love to have lunch sometime this week. Does that make sense? Great. Let me call you tomorrow morning with a time. Or you can say, we have a business conference call coming up on Wednesday night. Would you like to join us for that? So you start introducing them to other exposures, so they get other exposures. It's always about the next step. So 4 to 6 exposures. They don't have to be meetings. They're called exposures for that reason. It can be more materials, okay, all those kinds of things, but you want to make sure you keep them engaged. Keep them engaged in a constant flow of information, getting involved, meeting new people in the organization, right? And you really want to make sure closing the prospect, you yourself have to have a strong belief system. If you don't believe in the product, or you don't believe the prospect can succeed, or you don't believe you're able to train them, you are going to fail. But it's not because of them. It's because you. You're coming across totally insecure, and you're not going to ask the words. You're not going to. These are, again, reasons why people don't follow up, because of their own insecurity. So know you can do this. And work with your upline, get a plan, know exactly how you're going to train somebody, bring them along, have all of that down pat, and you'll be unstoppable. Know how to respond to objections. Those are critically important when you're up there following and closing, because you're going to hear some. And you only have to know a few of them, you know, like the network marketing one, is this a pyramid scheme, that kind of stuff. You know, I don't have time, and whatever. There's standard objections out there, and I've done lots of trainings around objections on my Monday calls, so you can go back and look at some of those. And you don't want to badger people, because a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. That's a great quote that you should take to heed. Always be a great listener when you're trying to close. People hate quiet. I love quiet. When I'm in the midst of working with somebody and there's quiet, it's A-okay. It's a gap. And you go, oh, but I feel so uncomfortable. It's like I've screwed up or something. I said, no. You didn't screw up at all. Allow the quiet to be there. They can have a chance to think. Right? So you want to talk about that. Always when you ask questions of people, when you're talking to them, you want to talk to them in terms of what they like most about the presentation. So when you're done with the presentation, what did you like most of? You don't go right into, on a scale of 1 to 10, you'd say, what do you like most about the presentation? Great. Really? How did they see that apply to your life? I get it. Because, see, they're taking that information and they're applying it to what? A pre-existing lifestyle. Theirs. You want to know how they took that and how it applied to their life. And there might have been some misunderstanding in some of the things they saw because they're trying to collect a lot of data. You want to get those things corrected. So have a great conversation about them post-presentation that talks about what they like most. Start it in a favorable light. Don't just say, so what do you think? It's the worst thing to say besides, you know what, I really don't like you. That's probably the worst thing to say. But if you say, what do you think, it's open-ended. They might have found one thing wrong in the presentation. They're going to talk to you about that instead of what they really enjoyed. So definitely do that. Never ask people if they want more information, because that's just your delay tactic, your avoidance of close. You're just avoiding closing. So, but if they ask for more information, what do you say? Great, I'll send you some things. You know, people in my downline do that with me, and I get a phone call. Like, that night, and they go, Mary Jo, this guy wants more information. What should I send him? And then my question is going to be what? What did they want more information on? I mean, Manatech covers a lot of things. Did you ever see the Choose Your Lifestyle presentation? There's a lot of stuff in that presentation. What is the category they wanted more information? They want to understand the comp plan better. They want to understand the products better. They want to understand the company better. Did they want to understand where the economy is going better? What did they want to know? Find out what they want, and usually you're challenging them, because if they're using it as a delay tactic, now they've got to get specific, and that's going to be hard for them to do as well. So you put them back on the spot instead of you. And what I tell people, though, is always remember that the majority of people in this country don't like to make decisions, like upward of 80% don't like to make decisions. They're the same people that can sit on a car lot for 5 hours and never buy a car. The same ones that go to 7 shopping malls to find a new dress. They're the same. I mean, they just hate making decisions because to them, decisions are really final, and they talk themselves out of it as fast as they talk themselves into it. And there are lots of people like that. So you don't, you know, be prepared to help them make a decision so that they don't end up stuck forever in that position of non-decision. I use what I call assume close. This is just my style, Mary Jo. There's lots of different closing styles, and I know I've done trainings on that, so you can go to manatrain.net and find out other closing styles. There are like 100 different closing styles. It's really hilarious if you, when you read through all of them. It's like, wow, you get inundated with them, and you go, I don't know. But, you know, find your style, something that suits you. I love the assume close. So what it is, I go through all the information. What did you like about it? What do you? I said, okay, so John, let's get started. Let's sit down. Here's the application form, and what we need to know is, like, what products would you like? And I pull out the catalog, and I said, because when you're building your all-star pack, you get it. He hasn't even said he wants to get started. Mary Jo said, so John, let's get started. Now I wouldn't say that to somebody who says, you know what, Mary Jo, I really wasn't very interested in this, or I kind of like what I'm already taking, or, you know, this didn't make a lot of sense to me. And I'd go, really, what was it that, you know, I asked you what you liked about it, and you went right in a different direction. So what was it in there that you disagreed with? And then I'll try to solve that problem. And I'm not trying to close. I will close somebody who's a 7 and above. If somebody says, well, on a scale 1 to 10, I'm about a 7, I go, great, so let's get started. I mean, you're right there on the edge. What is it going to take to get us over that edge, right? You know, and I'll go into that. 7, 8, or 9, you know what, or definitely 10s. So we get them started. And I talk about the All-Star Pack. You get an immediate 25% return on your cost, right, because you get $125 free product in the Optimal Support Pack, so that's 25% return. And 100% of the income streams in Manatech are open to you. With the all-star level. So those are the kind of language you want to develop and talk about when on the all-star. But always remember, some will, some won't, so what next? So, you know, that's that emotional state. To be able to be responsive to no's just like you would a yes. That's an absolutely incredible place to be in Manatech. Because, you know, and people don't get that way. A lot of people out there say, Mary Jo, how does that really happen? I mean, how do you ever not get more excited about signing up a new all-star? And I said, well, I probably do. But the reality of it is I talk to so many people. When you talk to so many people, you know you're going to go through a bunch of no's to get to the yeses. So there's no negative emotional attachment on a no. It doesn't kill you because you got 45 other ones in the hopper. The people it kills are the people that are only working at one person at a time. Then your whole business just went down the tubes when somebody says no because you have no other prospects you're working with. Do you follow me? So it's you that create the disaster, not the person. There are always going to be people who say no. Next, right? Next. All right, and then once you get people started, what's the most important thing to do next? It's going to be what? You get them started, and you want to make sure they have a great first month. Because that first, and I usually do it first full business period. So if somebody gets started today, I say, okay, by the end of business period 9, this is where you're going to be. So, you know, and this is our free week of going out and really laying the foundation. So it's about the end of their first complete business period. You'd want them to be at regional director status, so they have a great first month story. It's unbelievable how much that great first month story. I've got a gal who got to regional director her first month, and she made almost $1,800 between her checks for power bonuses and her, obviously the regional pay isn't that great, but she has all the sign-up bonuses and checks for power bonuses. And she made it, well, tell me about it. When she goes out and talks to people about doing this business, don't you think she has a great first month story? That's what attracts people. They can invest $450, and she made $1,800 her first month. So you want to give people a grant, and that's why she hit national director her second month. Think about that. That's pretty crazy too, right? but it's because she had a first great month story. So you want to make sure that you help people, and that means you step into their lives and help them. It's connections. It's what, and you can say, well, Mary Jo, what if they're not willing to do it? Well, if they're not willing to do it, they're not willing to do it. I can't make people do something they're not going to make do. I can encourage them. I can inspire them. I can be their wind beneath their wings, but I can't force them to do something they're not willing to do. When I tell people you want to get to regional director, okay, then every day get a new contact. Every day let's do a three-way call, and let's just let the chips fall where they may. You want to do that? That's how you do it. You skip a week because you didn't feel like it? How's life? How is that playing out? Here's my question. How does that play out in your life in other ways? Because it's not just about Manatee. And in order for things to be different, you've got to choose to be different. When you put the nose to the grind and you really get committed, now we can make music. So, okay, great, great. So, you guys, there it is. You got four core skills now. Lots of great material. You can pass it on to your organization, but get clear and get centered. If some of these things are weaknesses in your life, you want to work on them. You want to pick out on, you know, and say, okay, I'm going to work on this. This is the week I'm going to really focus on this, or I'm going to become a great presenter, or I'm going to learn to be a better listener. So, you know, whatever it is that is where you see your skill set isn't complete, tackle that, because every ounce of you getting better is just another multiplication on how the results you're going to create. And the more you know, you stand back and wait before you invest in yourself, you're going to continue seeing the same results that you've always had. So it's about, how do I see different results? It's that whole definition of insanity. If you keep doing the things you've always been doing, you're going to keep getting the same results. And if you don't think that's true, then that's the level of insanity. If you keep doing all the things you've always been doing and think you're going to get different results, that's when they give you the definition of insanity. So what needs to happen is the change starts here. It just starts now. So let's make it, and let's make this an awesome business for everyone. Okay, everyone, that's all I have. Anyone have questions, answers, anything? Enjoy the call. Anyone want to share something in this call that's hit home, or you go, that's what I need to work on, or I'm going to do that? Everybody's really muted today. I mean, they are muted. I think they're just, they can't figure out the star. There we go. I got somebody unmuted. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, this is Kieran in Michigan. And
hi,
I
Kieran.
Liked what you just said about, don't ask what you think, but ask what did you enjoy.
Right.
And I think that's really key, because you really are trying to find out what they enjoyed about what you are presenting, because we already know we have some really good solutions to help people, and we want to help them get to what it is that they enjoy with what they see.
Correct. Because if you're keeping it on the positive note, you want to keep it positive, and you're just going to, if you can keep them positive, guess what? They're going to be positive all the way to the signing of the bottom line. It's just a natural progression. Right.
Right.
Good.
I have a question.
Sure.
There are people that you know, that we each know, that need these solutions but are just not quite willing to go to a meeting or listen to more of what you have, or, you know, We all know that they are looking for solutions to the things that we have.
Mm-hmm. So how you're saying, how do we overcome that? How do we take it to the next step?
Right.
Yeah. What I like to do sometimes being totally direct and honest with people, which isn't our normal modus operandi, is what works the best. Like you call them up, or you take them out for coffee, and you go, you know what? I've been sharing this with you, and I know you're looking, and I go, you know, what is it that's holding you back? I mean, how can I help support you find an answer? because I know you're serious about your health. I know you care so much about feeling better and doing better. And, you know, I've introduced you to some of these things. Would you like to talk to, you know, a medical professional? Would you like to talk? I mean, what is it going to take for you to make a great decision about moving forward? And just see what they say.
Right.
Because they're stuck for some reason, and until they admit why they're stuck, you're fighting a battle that's unknown. Do you follow me?
Right. Yeah.
We keep trying to be the answer.
Fight that battle.
You don't know how to fight the battle because you don't know what the roadblock is. And
right.
until they're totally honest with you about what that roadblock is, and a lot of people it's money. A lot of people it's money. But the intriguing thing about the money is today that I love so much about Manatech, I go, well, this company has such phenomenal integrity. I will live and die with you through every month that you're taking these products. But no, you can take these products for 6 months. And if you don't feel that there's a difference in your health and it's totally your opinion, I said, then package up the empty containers and I will support you to get 100% of your money back.
Right.
If it's money. So you have a response for almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, do you need more science information? Would you like to talk to somebody who's, you know, got background? I don't know if you, that depends on who your upline is and all that stuff. I went and got a certified nutrition degree, you know, as a nutrition and personal health coach, a certification, so I can come with some credentials. That sometimes is an answer to prayer for people because they just look at you like, you know, what do you know about nutrition? They don't, that's kind of crazy stuff, but that's, some people say that. They just look at that your background is in nutrition, so what do you know about nutrition? And then, or you can say, hey, let me just give you a list of all the people out there that are supporting this product, or find somebody upline again that's got a nutrition background or something that carries some credentials. A lot of times, that's why I suggest people do three-way calls, because it's not that you're not being effective. It's like people just don't listen to you until they get third-party validation. So offer a three-way call with somebody in your upline who's been associated with this technology for 19 years or something like that, whatever, you know, if you have somebody like that. That helps a lot because it's hilarious. I mean, I have people that get so mad at me sometimes because they'll do a three-way call with me and their friend will sign up immediately. And then they'll call me back and go, I worked on her for 3 months, Mary Jo, and she wouldn't have a lick of this. And it was you convinced me to do a three-way call. And all you had to do is open your mouth and all of a sudden she's buying. What? That's unfair. Life shouldn't be that way. And I start laughing because it really has nothing to do with Mary Jo. It has everything to do with the fact that you had third-party validation. So maybe instead of being out there just on your own trying to do this, try to add that third-party validation behind it. And that makes all the difference in the world for people. So it doesn't mean it doesn't have to be somebody who's even, it could be somebody less knowledgeable than you, but just the fact that there's now endorsement makes a difference. So all of those things could be it. But, I find that you can approach people and throw all those things at them, but usually it's just, can you just be totally honest with me and tell me what is holding you back? Just ask them that. Just gut. Sometimes we don't want to hear what it is, so we don't ask that question. But I tend to be forthright because I don't like tackling something in the dark. I rather have the knowledge. And so I ask them those questions. Anyone else? Any other questions? Okay, everybody, go get it. Last week of a business period. Let's knock the ball out of the park. Love you all. Have a great week. We'll talk next Monday. Bye, everyone.